Amen. Morning, church. And somebody say, happy birthday, church. You said the day of Pentecost is the day of the birth of the church. And you know, once you have birthday, you should have gifts. And the greatest gift was given on that birthday. The day of Pentecost is today. 50 days after the Passover. 40 days after the resurrection of Christ and he walked. And 10 days to the day of Pentecost. In Jesus' mighty name. But as a Caribbean man, you know I'm from the Caribbean. And I saw when they were singing the first verse or the first song, I can feel the lyrics of Bob Marley, you know? They were dancing like, you know, shaking like Bob Marley. So I get that reggae feeling in my heart. I guess it is to stir up my spirit today so that the Pentecost power can fall upon you in Jesus' mighty name. But let me just cool down and don't get excited in Jesus' mighty name. So shall we be reading first from, I want to take you from the first of Genesis, and then we get into the book of Acts. From the beginning of creation. So please stand it with me as we read the word of God. And we will be reading from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And it said, I'm reading from the New King's Version. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness. Somebody say likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creep on the earth. Somebody said dominion. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. Somebody said, I am blessed. And God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fishes of the seas, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. That is our first reading. Can you move to me with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And I read, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness. Somebody say, I am a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And quickly turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a rustling mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongue of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. And if we move on, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devoted men from every nation. These songs occurred. The multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all of these men speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each other in our own language in which we were born?" And if we move on to verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you, and heed my word. For these are not drunk men, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, approximately 9 in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, say God, that I will pour out my spirit to all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see vision, and you old men shall dream dreams. And of my member maidservant and of my maidservant, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, in Jesus' mighty name." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, my Lord and my Father, that on this day of Pentecost, the day that you have poured out your spirit upon mankind, Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that there shall be a renewal, that there shall be a refreshing, that there shall be a revival in Jesus' mighty name. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for that gift of the Holy Spirit. But you said I have to ascend before I can descend. And when I descend upon you, it shall come upon like a fire upon you. Father, we thank you for that Holy Spirit, that Spirit that guide us, that Spirit that give us utterances, that Spirit that help us, my Lord and my Father, to overcome the trials and the tribulation of this world in Jesus' mighty name. Oh Lord, my God, let your Shekinah glory fill this place in Jesus' mighty name. As Prophet Isaiah said, your word shall come forth, and it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Father, let your word come forth. Help me to descend, and let you be ascended in Jesus' mighty name. Father, give us receptive ears so that we shall never be the same as we came in. Oh Lord, my Lord and my Father, take control in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's saints say, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. It would appear as if I've already preached my sermon, but we thank God. I believe that as we continue the work of Christ through the church, and on this day of Pentecost, the birth of Christianity. It is important that we understand the Genesis from which it all started. And as I've read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, in the beginning, God created man in his own image. It therefore means that God had a vision of what man should look like. That's why he said he created him in his own likeness. Man was created in the likeness of God. And he blessed them, both men and women. He empowered them and gave them the ability, the anointment, the insight, the wisdom, the knowledge. He gave them authority. But what he did not give them is the power. Because he reserved something. Because he knew that man would fail me. But the word that I would he would not fail me. So I have to reserve something for the last. I say your latter shall be better than your former. Amen. The Pentecost, in the context of Pentecost, we are dealing with the coming of the Holy Spirit. In the context of the beginning of man, we are dealing with the purpose of man. And man's purpose cannot be revealed until the Holy Ghost's presence is within him. The Bible said the earth is crying out to see the manifestation of the Son of God. But the Son of God can only be manifested when the Spirit of God connect with the presence of God on this earth. I said the Son of God can only manifest itself when the Spirit of God connect with him and the presence of God can be descended upon the earth. And this is the first Adam. I will not go through the story, but you know it. When God created Adam and Eve, and what happened thereafter. But I can tell you that it takes a body. It took the body of Eve for the serpent to enter in order to manifest itself. So the spirit needs a body in order to manifest itself so that the presence of God can be fulfilled. Is somebody hearing me in Jesus' mighty name? I said the spirit, it needs a body to work through in order that the presence of God can be seen on this earth in Jesus' mighty name. But men could not handle the authority. Men could not have handled the authority. Men struggle with failures and temptation. Even to this day, we struggle with failures and temptation. And God said that it is time that I could take back ownership. Because I have created men in my own image. It is time that I can take back control of this world because I did not create it to be like that, a world that is full of sin, but I shall now take back ownership. And in John chapter 1 verse 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But I am telling you, that Word was Jesus Christ, that was prophesied by prophet Joel. He said, "He shall come, you shall see him." John said, "I am baptizing you with water, but the one that is coming after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire in Jesus' mighty name." So that prompted me to the second Adam in Jesus Christ. The first Adam had a churchy but no power. And in the book of Acts, if we fast forward, he said, but you shall receive power
when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. This power is to make sure that if you use it the right way, if you commit yourself, if you equip yourself with this power that I'm giving you, it is not a power for yourself, but it's a power for you to go out there and to witnesses and to win souls for through the kingdom of God in Jesus' mighty name. That is the power. That's the reason why he gave us that power. He said, now you have power and you have authority. It's not only authority, but you have both. You have power and you have authority in Jesus' mighty name. And the Holy Spirit came upon you, and you shall be witness in the whole of Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and the end of the earth. As I said, the Pentecost was held 50 days after Passover, 40 days after his ascension. The Holy Spirit came 50 days after the resurrection, 10 days after his ascension. But there are two things that strike me in the whole episode of the Pentecost. And the two lessons that I learned, and I want to share it with you, is that one, there was preparation. There was preparation. Because if you're not prepared, you will fail. It's like going through a career, an academic career. And if you fail to prepare for the exam, definitely you shall fail. So you ought to be prepared. Preparation causes you to be ready. And if you are not ready, may God help us. They were in the upper room praying in one accord, waiting upon the promises to renew their strength. And whenever I get to the Pentecost, I always remember David when he said, cast me not away, O Lord, from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me, but renew unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. That is the right spirit that David was talking about. But the Lord, remember, he said, I have to ascend before I can send that promise, that gift of the Holy Spirit that would be with you, that would guide you, that would protect you, that would give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that will give you direction, because now you have authority and you have power. And they waited. But I can tell you, waiting is never easy. When you call to the farmer, he plants a seed. He prepared the land, he watered the ground. Then he see his crop grow. Then he reap the harvest. Waiting sometime is good. Especially if you're waiting upon the Lord. As Isaiah said, those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They shall mount like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I said, we shall wait upon the Lord. We shall wait upon the Lord. No trials, no tribulation. Today I'm telling you, wait upon the Lord, because his denial is not his rejection, but it's just a matter of time. God's time is not our time, but God's time time is the most right time. It is the perfect time. So wait, my brothers, wait, my sisters, upon the Lord. He shall pour out his spirit upon you. And my friend and my father, I am talking to you today. I said, when the Lord, you wait upon the Lord, you shall see vision. You shall get direction. You shall know what to do, what not to do. Because the Holy Spirit, he shall guide you, he shall protect you, he shall deliver you in Jesus' mighty name. Wait upon the Lord. So they were prepared, and we ought to be prepared. They were praying. These all continue with one accord in prayers and supplication. With the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers, the day of Pentecost, the promise was fulfilled. The promise was fulfilled, waiting on the power of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said that I baptize with water, but the one who is coming after me shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. His promises are still true today. He said, I shall not leave you nor forsake you. He said, you have your, my goodness and mercies are new every morning. Great is my faithfulness. He said in Matthew 6:23, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're asking for shall be given unto you. His promise is true. And if I think about his promise, or whenever I think about the promises of God, I remember that there was the promise, there was the problem, and there was the provision. I pray in Jesus' mighty name that your provision is coming. Whatever the situation, he shall provide for you according to his riches and glory, because he's not a man that will lie. He's not the Son of God that he will repent. What he said he will do, he will do. That provision is coming in Jesus' mighty name. Despite what circumstances you are going through, despite the trials that you are going through, I said that provision is coming. Receive it in Jesus' mighty name. That is the provision. And that is what it takes when you pray. That's why he said, pray continually, continuously, earnestly. Seek my face. And for all that have seek my face, he has never disappointed them. As I said, the first Adam, he disappointed them. He disappointed God. But God said, I am reserving something. I have a surprise gift for you. Oh, my Lord and my Father, when I think about the Lord, what he has done for me, where he has brought me from, I can say hallelujah. I can say thank you, Jesus. Because you might not know my story, and you need not to know it. I don't need your story. But when you think about what the Lord has brought you from, we have to shout and say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my Lord and my Father, hallelujah to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the soon coming King. He said, I shall come back. I shall judge the world. Oh, my Lord and my Father, and the dead shall rise first. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And they shall be taken up. Oh, my Lord and my Father, we thank you, oh God, for eternity. When you preach the Pentecost and you understand the way of life, you realize that money cannot buy life. Over the weekend, I had a conversation with my wife. As you know, one of our fans is Tina Turner. And Tina Turner is this hip-hop singer. Very nice music. And she finds favor with the whites. And if you find favor with the whites, it therefore means that you're a billionaire. Because they would buy your music. It's like Michael Jackson. But when Tina Turner was on her dying bed, she realized that all the riches that I have, it cannot save me. It cannot save me. And it reminds me of the rich man in the Bible. He said, Lord, what can save me? He said, put down your riches, lay them aside, and pick up the cross and follow me. Then you will know what it is to fraternity, to live for eternity. This life is short, yet still, we have to live for Christ. That is the only thing that can ensure our eternity. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. And that Spirit today is in you, my Lord and my Father. That Spirit today is in you. The Holy Spirit, you have to invite Him. You have to invite His presence. He does not come in. And we have seen from Genesis that it took a body for the Spirit to work. That the Holy Spirit saying that I need a body so that I can manifest myself, so that you can be witness in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God for the soul of Tina Turner. And they were praying. And finally, the witness. On Pentecost, the apostles were only received the gift of other tongues. They were witness to their effectiveness that they receive. So it's just not only receiving the Holy Spirit, but you going out here and be a witness to the world in Jesus' name. They told many people who they were in, when they were in Jerusalem, about the work of Jesus Christ. They renew their spirit, and they were back, as in the prophet said, in prophet Joel, you're a Pentecostal person, witness in the most powerful thing. You have got to be, and Peter came out. You remember Peter? God said, Peter, you shall deny me. And Peter preached one of the greatest sermons in the history of Christianity, whereby 3,000 souls were turned to Christ. Imagine Peter that was hiding, thinking that as God ascended, what would they have done to me and the other disciples? Remember, they were disciples. They were the follower of Christ. But now they become apostle. They become apostle because apostle means to take the message forward in Jesus' mighty name. I say each and every one of you is an apostle because your purpose and your position is to take the word across the nation and let people know, baptizing them with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. That is your purpose. That is the purpose. And that is the purpose in which God created man from the beginning. And that is the purpose for which He sent His only begotten Son in Christ Jesus, so that mankind can fulfill that purpose in Jesus' mighty name. They were followers. Then they became messengers. The Pentecost might not come with fire and wind, but as we have seen, in the case of Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 13, first, there was a wind that shook the rocks, that broke it. But God was not in that wind. Then there was an earthquake, a great shaking, and Elijah looked around, but God was not in that earthquake. And then there was a fire, as we read on the day of Pentecost. But God was not in that fire. And then there was this small, still voice that God spoke to Elijah. On this day of Pentecost, I pray that that small, still voice shall touch your heart, your mind, and your soul to know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ still reigns, and he shall reign forever in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Can we stand up so that we can pray? So that Holy Ghost fire, be it in the form of a fire, be it in the form of an earthquake, be it the form of a wind, whatever it is, but that still voice shall touch your heart, your mind, and your soul, and let know that God is still alive. He is still working. He is still, promises are still true. It is yea and amen. And once you have accepted him, once you have dedicated your heart, and your soul to him, today he's saying, I receive you in my presence, and in my presence there are fullness of joy, because on the right hand sitting the throne of grace, interceding for each and every one of you, that my grace is sufficient. Father, we have sinned and fallen short of your kingdom of God, but we pray, my Lord and my Father, on this Pentecost day, that your spirit shall be poured out. Pour out your spirit upon us, my Lord and my Father, for we have sinned and fallen short of your kingdom, but we shall not remain there. As you say, you have given us the promise, you have given us the provision, and you shall see it, that promise of my Lord and my Father, that you shall never leave us nor forsake us, but that you shall be with us now and forevermore. My Father, my God, as we call upon your name, oh, thank you, Jesus. Let your promise be fulfilled. Let your will be done in our life, my Lord and my Father, in our family life. Whatever we do, oh God, it shall be for the glorification of your kingdom. Give us the spirit, oh God, to go out there, oh God, and to win souls into your kingdom. We want to commit. Give us the equipment in the Holy Spirit so that we can proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. And all of God's people say amen and amen. God bless you.